This first slide may be a little bit hard to read, and it's pretty blunt, but it says, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. This says your life is a result of your choices. If you don't like your life, it's time to make some better choices. And then, I am not a product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions. So this morning, I would like for us to think about some great decisions of the Bible. But before we get into that, I want to thank everyone for being able to make it out this morning. It's a beautiful day. We've got so much to be thankful for. It's good to see everyone here well enough to be with us today. It's good to have you back with us, Pat. And it's good to see you again, Kenny. It's good to have everybody here this morning. So when we think about our life is filled with choices and decisions that we make every day, from small things to great things. And in this lesson, I'd like for us to consider a few of the characters from the Old Testament and some decisions they made, some choices they had. I want us to look at Joseph a little bit, and then I want us to look at ourselves and choices and decisions that we have to make. So what is a choice or a decision? Well, it's having options between a couple different things, and we have to pick one of them. If we go out to eat after service, we have this option or that option. Which are we going to choose? What are we going to decide? Again, some decisions involve small things. Some things involve our very soul. Back in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, what did they decide to do? They decided to disobey God and follow the serpent instead. And here we see at the beginning that life involves a series of decisions. They had to make them, and we've had to make them ever since. The wrong decision was influenced by human appetite and a desire to be wise. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And the consequences of their decision are still with us today. You stop and think about that. We still suffer from their consequences. So we need to remember, we aren't Adam and Eve, but the decisions that we make might affect our family or people for generations to come because of some of the things that we've decided to do. Consider Lot in Genesis chapter 13. Lot chose the well-watered plain of Jordan. And it looked like a smart decision. That looked like a good choice. But was it? It led to the loss of his family. And Genesis 19:26 says, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So what did he make his decision based on? Again, it was the lust of the eyes. It looked like a good land. It was based on what he saw, not on logic. He didn't consider other things involved. So he let material things influence him too much in this decision. And he chose to rear his family in a place where there was sin. Sin that we still talk about today because of the condition of that city. Well, you consider his uncle Abraham. In Genesis 22, verses 1 through 13, when God told him to go and offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, what did Abraham do? He chose to obey God. And he didn't have to think about it twice. When Abraham decided to obey God, that set the tone for every other decision that he would make. And it should be the same with us today. when we decide to obey Jesus, when we come up out of that water of baptism, our decisions in life are so much easier because they've already been made. If God says do this, we do this. We don't have to stop and wonder. And just like Abraham, he was called the friend of God. You think about Joshua and the decisions that he made. In Joshua 24:15, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Is it easy to take a stand and make a decision like that? Not always. Is it popular? No, and a lot of times you're going against the crowd. But Joshua chose to serve the Lord. His decision was based on the fact that the Lord was the true God and that he had done so much for him. And again, when you think about everything that God has done for us, when he asks us to do something for him, are we going to say no? Now, some people will blame their choice or their decisions they make based on their circumstances. They'll use their family, their health, their upbringing. They will use any excuse that they can think of to do something the way they want to do it. So let's consider Joseph for a couple of minutes. And in Genesis chapter 37, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 37 and beginning at verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. One of the first things that we see about Joseph and a choice or a decision that he made, he chose to tell the truth instead of omit that. He brought back a bad report to his father. When his brothers, verse 4, saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. See, there is consequences for telling the truth. So he said to them, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream that I have dreamed." And Joseph, he couldn't leave well enough alone with them hating him for him telling the truth. He told them this dream that they had where they were all going to bow down to him someday. And they hated him even more. "We aren't going to do that to our little brother." But his father kept it this in his mind. But we see that Joseph told, he decided to tell the truth. And that's an example for us, because there are going to be many times, maybe in the workplace, maybe in a social situation, where there might be pressure to bend the truth a little bit. We never want to do that. We must be truthful. Well, as we go on and look in the life of Joseph, some of the other decisions he made, Joseph decided to put God above personal lust and passion. In Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Then the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house, and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me. But you, because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. So Joseph decided to put God above personal lust and passion. And that is something that is rare today. You look at the lives of so many people and the lifestyle that is promoted out in the world. But you think about the consequences again. And you think about, I am not a product of my circumstances, I'm a product of my choices. You think about that. Now, if anybody could have used that as an excuse, Joseph could have. He could have said, "You don't know what a mess my family was. My father had 4 wives. I have half brothers by my father's different wives. My brothers hate me. My brothers wanted to kill me. My brothers sold me as a slave." You know, none of us have lived in circumstances like that. And they shipped him off to Egypt. He was in a foreign land. Who would know? Who would know if Joseph made the wrong choice? I can tell you 2 people that would know. Joseph would know, and God would know. So we've got to understand, the world, they will give you a pass. You just say, whatever the situation is, my family, my upbringing, my money, my lack of money, this person did this to me, and they'll let you get away with making any choice you want to. But we are not a product of our circumstances. We are a product of our choices. And we see how God, when Joseph made the right choices and put God first, God continued to bless Joseph. Well, when we read on about Joseph in chapter 39, and we get down to verse 20, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, he made to prosper." So Joseph, he's doing what's right. He does not give in to Potiphar's wife's demands. And because of that, he's cast into prison. If you were lied about and falsely charged and thrown into prison, I speak for myself, I would probably be a little bitter. I would probably be a little bitter. Was Joseph? No, he was not bitter. What did he do? He put his trust in God's providence. We see, again, when we're looking at godly people's lives and choices and decisions they make, as I said earlier, it's easy to make the right decision because God's going to be with us. Why was God with Joseph? Because Joseph was obeying God. And Joseph decided to trust in God and his providence instead of becoming bitter. He didn't say, look at what God's done to me now. He would have thought, this is where I am now. God will provide for me in the future. Well, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 and begin reading. Then Joseph, and this is when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers when they come down to Egypt because of the famine and to buy grain. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What had Joseph's brothers done to him? They had wronged him. They wanted to kill him. They sold him as a slave. What did Joseph decide to do? He decided to forgive his brothers. He decided to forgive them. And again, he saw the providence of God. It wasn't you that was behind all of this. It was God. And Joseph is such an amazing example, not just of faithfulness. And there are a few, very few people in the Bible that you can't read where something is recorded about them that they did wrong. I can't think of anything. Maybe I missed it. I can't think of anything that Joseph did wrong. He was a pure, upright young man like Daniel and some others. But you see the providence of God, where God took Joseph from his homeland and he transported him to Egypt. And he put him second in command, and he saved nations so they wouldn't starve, and brought Israel, the people, down to Egypt. And there wasn't any miracles involved in that. That whole account, there weren't any miracles involved. It was a series of events. And Joseph, I am a product of my choices. Your life is a result of your choices. If you don't like your life, it's time to make better choices. You see, throughout the Bible, people that made choices that were based on their own selfish desires and the consequences that came from those. Well, one last thing about Joseph. We turn over to Genesis chapter 50. And look at verse 24 beginning, Genesis chapter 50 and 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So where is Joseph? He's in Egypt. What did he know was going to happen? He knew that God had promised to Abraham that promised land that they would receive. Joseph said, "Don't leave me here. I choose not to be left here in Egypt. Take me to the promised land. Take me to the promised land." He made the decision. He wanted to make it to the promised land. And he died, he was embalmed, and they carried the bones of Joseph with them so that he could make it to the promised land. When we look at Joseph, we see some wise choices in the face of bad circumstances. Wise choices in the face of bad circumstances. Well, what about us? In the scripture reading, Matthew 27:22, Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Now, with Pilate, we all face this same question also. We have a choice. We have a decision to make. What are we going to do with Jesus? And we see with Pilate, one of the first things he did, he didn't want to be responsible for making the decision. He asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" He tried to sidestep his responsibility and let somebody else make the decision. And what did they say? They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." That brings it a little bit closer down to us. What are we going to do with Jesus? There's a song that we sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It just has a few words in it, and they're repeated over and over, but it's a song with a very beautiful thought and commitment that we need to make. "I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me," I better not try to say the words, I'll forget it. I still will follow. And then there are two more verses, and then the last one is, "Will you decide to follow Jesus?" But we all must make a decision, and we can't blame our circumstances for this or that. The responsibility falls on each one of us. We're going to stand before God ourselves and give an answer of our choices and our decisions. Again, every day we have choices. We have great decisions that we must make. We have a choice to energize our faith. Do we have a faith that is alive and living, or is it dead? Who's responsible for our faith? We are. We are. It's a choice. How much faith do I have? It's up to me. Do I open God's Word and get into it to build my faith? Do I spend time with other Christians? Do I come to Bible classes? We have a choice. We have a choice to trust in God's help. And again, I think Joseph is a beautiful example of that, but that applies to all of us. Trust in God's help. Do you ever wonder, how am I going to make it through today, or what's going to happen to me tomorrow? Sometimes we fall in that trap, but we shouldn't. We should choose. We should decide to trust in God to help us. He's helped me all the years up to today. Why should I think that He's not going to help me tomorrow? We should choose to love God's Word. We should decide. It's a choice. If we don't love God's Word, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to lose our soul, but I there's a lot of things that happen if we don't love God's Word. And you can see it in the brotherhood, where when people don't stand for the truth and they don't love God's Word, they bring in any and every kind of innovation and strange type of worship, and God is not going to be pleased with that. We have a choice to be devoted to God's people. It's a decision. Are we going to be devoted to God's people or not? We have a choice, a decision to give yourself to worship God. Again, that's what we've been looking at on Wednesday evenings. We're a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves up daily. And it's only reasonable. It's only reasonable for everything that God has done for us that we choose to offer ourselves up to God. And when we do that, He's promised to reward us. He's promised to reward us. If we choose not to do that, He's promised to punish us. It's a choice. It's a choice. We have a choice to give generously with our money, with our time, with our talent. And you stop and think about just time and talent. All the time we have, it's whatever God gives us. It's not our time. How many years do we have? Whatever God gives us. And He just gives us one day at a time. So we should give our time generously to God every day and not put Him on the bottom of the list at night when everything is done and we've given all of our time and energy to somebody else. Our talents. We have to choose, we have to decide what are we going to do with our talents. We all have different talents and we can all use them to work in the kingdom and to help each other. And do you know how you get some of your talents? How you develop them? You don't just wake up one morning. You got to practice over and over and over and over. And you see that, you know, as a babe in Christ, when someone is converted and you see them grow and they decide they're going to grow and they've made a decision. They've made a decision. We have a choice to share what you know. We've got a decision to make. When we see somebody and we know we could help them with the gospel, are we going to say something to him? We don't have to tell him, talk to him for an hour in the grocery store, try to tell him the Bible cover to cover. But we can say something, or we can hand him a card and say, hey, if you get a chance, you know, check out our Facebook, check out our website. Hey, why don't you come and visit with us on Wednesday night? Why don't you come and visit with us on Sunday? We have an opportunity to share what we know. We have to make a decision. Are we going to do that, or are we going to choose to keep it to ourselves? And just stop and think about this. How did you learn the truth? How did you learn it? Somebody had to make a choice. Somebody decided to share the truth with you. What if nobody shared the truth with you, Jim? Would you know the truth? None of us would. None of us would. And we have a choice to share what we know with others. Our life is a result of our choices. And we ought to think about that instead of thinking about how much money, what is your life? Oh, look at where I live. Look at this house that I have. Look at all the cars that I have. Look at all the trips that I get to go on. Look at this. Look at my fancy clothes. Is that what life is about? No. It's a life of choices, and it's a life of choosing to put God first in our life. Friends, what then shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do? It's up to each and every one of us. You know, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're foolish and you make bad decisions. Your life is a result of your choices. If you don't like your life, it's time to make some better choices. Your life is not a result of your circumstances, it is a result of your choices. God has given us free will. Why has He given us free will? So that we can choose. We can choose, just like Joshua said, we can choose to serve God. And God will either, for any decision that we make, he's either going to reward us or he's going to punish us. Friends, why do not you decide to follow Jesus today? Why not? Whether you're outside of Christ, you need to start today. If you're a Christian, we need to make that deep commitment, that decision, that choice that we are going to follow Christ and put him first in our lives. If we can assist anybody this morning to help them to do that or to be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.